Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into USWAT Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leyvon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns and initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of in-market involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. Airing tonight is a special broadcast in light of the closure of an old year and the beginning of the new. Tonight, as you stay tuned in, you will hear the last two dynamic and vital lessons for the year. Thriving in Uncommon Excellence and the Elements to This Divine Win in 2010. A new name is coming to USWAT Radio, Rhema Remnant Radio. Yes, that's right, Rhema Remnant Radio. Just remember triple R. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast. And on behalf of our founder, Elder Leyvon Breland, and the staff of Urban Glory Campaigns, Happy New Year!
You know, the scripture is quite clear of God's depiction of being a God who has an excellent nature, an excellent reputation. Whenever you think of the glory of his works and the manifold of his wisdom, excellence also comes to light as you review the nature of God. We as ministers must always be conscious of his nature, especially when we are dealing with the church and matters pertaining to the church. Can the excellency of his nature be vividly displayed in your life? That is the question. And I believe that this particular study will help reinforce how we should thrive in uncommon excellence. We have to understand that God's nature and reputation is rare in a culture that hostily and overtly denies the sovereignty of God. Now, as we stand out in a dispensation that believes they know everything, can do what they want to do, and even justify God acknowledging their passivity and their sins, we need to come even stronger in this dispensation and come to a resolve that we are going to display God's excellent nature. And so tonight's series deals with finding an uncommon excellence. Are you excellent in your endeavors? Are you excellent in the things pertaining to your ministry? Are you excellent in life? We're going to answer all of those questions and more, and how to activate thriving in uncommon excellence. Because I believe that the minimum standard of ministry should be excellent. Just being excellent in life, then being excellent based on our deliberation of the word, and also being excellent in every facet of administration that we have been entrusted with as it pertains to ministry. You can't tell me you are excellent in ministry and then do things that God himself would not do for his own. When you take on a ministry, you have to do things in light of your acknowledging that you are representative, that you are a representative of God and are on working on his behalf. I'm going to do that. You're going to have plenty of that next year when we deal with the doctrine. I'm going to take you through scripture. But I want to give you some principles that will focus you on joining me in this discourse of study pertaining excellence. And I think the starting point of this new era of teaching begins with this: being excellent in every area of your life. You're ministers of the gospel. There's a certain expectation for every minister, and it begins with just excellence. And that's the problem. We have not lived up to the expectations, and not for people's sake, but for God's sake. God's expectation is for us to be excellent because it's a quality that has been repeated throughout history that signifies who he is. Look at how God has worked with humanity, and look at how much he has provided for us, to the very fact that he can even number the hairs that are on our heads. He is excellent. And that same power and ability resides on the inside of us to not only display it for the sake of reputation, but to exist in a realm of excellence that is far superior than the natural world. There was a prophecy given, though, years ago that you can find in the hearts of your scripture, that the sons of men would be wiser than the children of God. But how many of you know Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law? That does not have to be so if we determine to be excellent in life. And this particular message is essential for ministers to revisit every once in a while. Are you raising the standard of excellence in life? And when your ministry takes on the role of fulfilling the commission of the Lord Jesus, you will realize that that ministry exists upon excellence. One of the ministers who were very inspirational in my life as it pertains to excellence and had set the standard for me to exist in superior excellence, I believe, was Dr. Joseph A. Mills. Whenever I saw Dr. Mills minister the word, even before he was formally educated, there was an excellence about his appearance that said, okay, this man is worthy to be my leader at the time that I was under his ministry. And being under his ministry for 15 years, I watched how he studied and prepared his messages. I watch how he constantly refined himself and continues to refine himself. But it set a standard in my life that, hey, as a result of his demeanor and things in which he did to bring about an excellence in ministry, it set a standard for me to even take the principles that I learned from observation to applicable use to go to another bar or another level of excellence in my own life. And every once in a while, when I want to go and revisit excellence, I go visit their ministry and I observe them again. Because for me, that was someone who was a visible manifestation of a form of excellence in life. I've never seen him unkempt. Even on his casual day, his clothes were clean. He had a militant background, so I know that was a strong influence. But whether he had a militant background or not, I believe that it was already seated in him naturally to observe and to exist excellently. Now, I've had the opportunity to see him in private, so I know some people have not. And many of you don't know, and it's okay. This is just an example to help us. But that picture in my mind helped frame, and I can even see myself in ministry today when I go to study some of the same principles that were instinctively adopted from his teachings and from him personally, imparting understanding in me, set the bar for excellence. And so this particular ministry, Urban Glory Campaigns, has a lot of hats to throw down. Every once in a while, you give honor to whom honor is due. And what I find is when I deal with a lot of ministries today, you don't see a lot of excellence in their approach to ministry. And I've seen some of the largest organizations or what appears to look like an excellent work be done sloppily. And then that lets me know that the fundamental of excellence was not instinctively grasped at the initiation of a thing. And just because you put something together and it looks good doesn't mean that it's excellent. And that's the great deception. And one of the things in being in this particular dialogue is to give you what other people are afraid to tell you, that you're not excellent. When you don't truly study, some people tell me they study a week before they minister. You're not excellent. You're unorganized. You don't have any systematic follow-through. That's not a proper and healthy interpretation of God, to not have a healthy quantity of information pertaining to excellence. You're lazy, and you're not fit for ministry. And someone needs to set the bar that those week before sermon preparations are a poor, sloppy representation of God. I don't only want you to be good at understanding Scripture, because I do understand Scripture, but I want you to be excellent, because excellence is his nature, it's his reputation. The Scripture says it's for his name's sake. We praise him according to his excellent greatness. You've heard all of these scriptures. I could take you down hundreds of scriptures that let you know that God's nature is excellent. And if we begin to exemplify the nature of God, we must revisit the claim of being excellent in our nature. And if we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, we are without excuse, as Romans relates to us. And you don't want to be like them people who God gives over to a reprobate mind, because they refuse and they reject the knowledge and the opportunity to repent. The Scripture is a great enlightener to the excellent nature of God. It is one's observance in Scripture that could possibly make the difference that you need to excel in life, just to be excellent. And so tonight's lesson, we're going to be launching a short study on thriving in uncommon excellence. Now, when we reflect on God's excellence, we see that there is a superior form of excellence in our lives that goes beyond the excellent nature of just religious rhetoric. When we reflect on how God does things, God is excellent in every aspect of his life, so we should be in ours. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And we'll read verses 8 through 11 in the Amplified Translation. For God is my witness how I long for and pursue you all with love and the tender mercy of Christ Jesus himself. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and in all kinds of insight, that your love may display itself in the greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment, so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize on what is the excellent and the real value, recognizing the highest and the best, and the distinguishing the moral differences, and that you may be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless so that with heart sincere and certain and undefiled you may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing others to stumble. May you abound in and be filled with the fruits of righteousness, of right standing with God and right doing, which come through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, to the honor and praise of God, that is, his glory may be both manifested and recognized. I believe this particular translation exposes the desire of Paul's heart to those whom he was speaking to, the church of Philippi, the body of Christ, that they would excel in God's love and that God's love would give them the motivation and the wherewithal to achieve a pure state of righteousness that will be made manifest for the sake of God's glory. Let me give you a point that I didn't place in my text lesson. And that is that the minimum form or the minimum display of glory is excellence, because God's nature derives from his excellence. So we need to understand that excellence is something that we should approach on a consistent basis to attain whatever we need to attain when it comes to his ministry. Let's give God back the quality and the manner of ministry that he would display. That means from this day forward, you should make a conscious decision, if this is your first time hearing this and this is pertaining to you, that you're not going to exemplify God's ministry. God's ministry, it's not your ministry. You've just been entrusted with responsibility as it pertains to the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stop making things personal that are not personal. And one of it is ministry. When you're giving an opportunity to minister God's word and to proclaim God's word, you need to know that you represent him and that you are about his commission. That is the commission that he relegated to the authority of the Lord Jesus, that we take on when we go after things in ministry. It's Jesus' ministry. So we need to give him back the authority of his ministry. And then we need to rely on his spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. Well, let's explain this a little further. Tonight's lesson, we're going to talk about thriving in uncommon excellence being activated by a common excellence of discipline. Our purpose is to exemplify the excellency that God afforded through the power of Christ, that transforms reality, translates efficiency, and thrives in the abundance of his grace. This discourse developed a dialogue on amplifying the discipline of constructing ministry vocation in sequence that divinely systemizes practices, goals, and objectives of ministry in the order that is stipulated by the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I often encourage ministers to do at this point in my life is to realize that the Holy Spirit is the intelligence of God. It is God himself in spirit form. He is a part of the Godhead. And so when we talk about being led by the Spirit, we're not talking about being led by senses and emotions. We're talking about being led by the intelligence of God. And of course you can read in John 14, 15, 16, 17, when Jesus relegates authority to the Holy Spirit, he lets us understand that the Holy Spirit is sent not only as a comforter, but also a guide, an instructor of righteousness, that he would testify not of himself, but of Jesus, and say the things to you that he has been commanded of him and his Father. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us to develop objectives, goals, and things that synchronizes God's system for this particular time period. And so our objective is to systematically target a platform of strategies that promotes principles of excellence. And in doing so, we will construct four lessons with five point principles, with basic biblical snapshots, which teaches how our character, conduct, communication, and confidences can thrive in the excellency of the power of Christ. And so, in the first lesson, we're going to be dealing with thriving in uncommon excellence is activated by common excellence, the common excellence of discipline. And then we're going to define what that discipline is tonight. And then in the future, we're going to deal with thriving in uncommon excellence is achieved by abiding in the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And then in the future, we're also going to deal with how thriving in uncommon excellence is an administration of a godly genius communicator. And then we're going to conclude our lesson in thriving in uncommon excellence is anchored in our courage, or in the courage of endurance and steadfastness. And we're going to deal with the things that prevents endurance, and we're going to talk about the solutions of steadfastness that anchors our endurance. I think it's very important that you stay with me on this particular study as we begin to talk about being excellent, just pure excellence for His name's sake. So I want to encourage you, all those who are ministers, pastors, whatever you may find yourself. I have many ministers and pastors that listen to this broadcast. But if you listen to this broadcast, I want you to know that you need to examine and make sure that every fabric, anything that has something to do with God. See, the scripture lets us know, I believe it's in Colossians. Well, actually, it's in James 2. But I believe it's in Colossians. I believe it's Colossians chapter 1 or Colossians chapter 2. That whatever we do, and all that we do is to do it in all in the name of the Lord Jesus, which is the authority of the Lord Jesus. But where does the authority of the Lord Jesus come from? Comes from God's name. God's name, His excellent nature. And so if we are representing the name of God, we need to make certain that we always exemplify a state of excellence. And not only a state of excellence, but we must thrive in uncommon excellence. Our goal is to promote excellence in the spiritual, personal, and professional lives of ministers that reinforces the reflection of the power of Christ as the constant promoting for the character and the sacred vocation of ministry. So we're going to do that tonight. I want you to take out your notes, because we're going to have five basic principles on how thriving in uncommon excellence is activated by the common excellence of discipline. First of all, in order to be uncommon in a matter, you have to first understand the basic standard of what is common. And unfortunately, the church, as we get more modern and tech savvy, we lose the common excellence that sets us out in the forefront anyway. It's important that we study the history of the church. I cannot reinforce, I don't understand, I cannot comprehend why we would allow novices in the position of leadership in the local churches proclaim and profess the gospel of the Lord Jesus without developing an appreciation of the historical passages of time, not only in scripture but just in church history, period. We have preachers that reject going to school because they think they're going to be indoctrinated or over logical. Well, if you have the Spirit of God abiding in the inside of you, you've presumably accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you endeavor to study after Him, study the things of God. Why would not you educate yourself to learn how to accurately proclaim God's word, and proclaim God's word at a minimum standard of excellence? You would never go to a doctor or to a dentist or to a auto repairman or even to a restaurant that has no form of certification and justification that validates their authorization on a matter. So why do we have ministers of the gospel that don't endeavor to go out to be smarter, to be intelligent, to learn how to study, to learn how to grasp, and to learn the things of the Bible? Just not from just a religious persona, but from a perspective that validates and educates itself in the knowledge of God. the knowledge of God. And everybody, contrary to popular belief, you don't just need preaching for inspiration's sake, but preaching should come for the sake of faith, and you need to make certain that the person who is preaching the faith comes from the source of God's word. And that's why I cannot stress the importance of educating yourself and learning what it takes to be a minister of the gospel. Which leads me into our discussion for tonight. You will not enter into a realm of uncommon excellence until you come into the knowledge of the excellence of just pure discipline. Whosoever loveth knowledge loveth discipline, the scripture says, but whosoever hates correction is brutish or stupid. Proverbs 16. I believe it's verse 4. We need to love knowledge and the knowledge of God exists in a realm of excellence. And so tonight's lesson, we're going to deal for the next few moments on what exactly it will take to be excellent in ministry. Number one, we must first develop a character that defines a reputation of excellence. Reputation is everything when it comes to ministry. Not for the sake of just being a people pleaser. I'm not talking about being a people pleaser, but for the sake that you always represent God when you talk about you're in ministry. You always represent God. And so if you're going to be disciplined, the first thing you need to be disciplined in is in your character. And that's the greatest discipline that we could ever learn from the Lord Jesus. He was disciplined to the point that he obeyed even to death upon a cross. And therefore God so highly exalted him and gave him the name, the authority that's above every name. If our Lord Jesus derived from discipline from developing a character that defines his reputation, and you now see the effect of his reputation some 2,000 years later, men are calling upon the name of the Lord irregardless of culture and time. Imagine what his offspring is expected to achieve. Christ becomes the gauge to believers achieving a true state of character. The Holy Spirit equips us with what is with the necessary wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to exist in superior states of his nature for every affair this life stipulates and demands. Why? The word Christ, of course, is not Jesus' last name, but it's indicative of his ability that affords us access into his promise and into his provision. That when we call upon the name of the Lord, salvation is rendered unto us because of his work of redemption. And as a result of his redeeming work, we have access into this grace by faith. And our faith is anchored because of him as the author and the finisher. He's the author. So when we look unto Jesus, when we're looking unto him, we get an ability, an insight. For it is he that causes us to will and do his good pleasure. We get an insight on how to exemplify God and his nature. So you don't have to play games to manipulate people to give to you when you're exemplifying the excellency of God. Why? Because you have character. You don't have to use tricks of condemnation in order to get materialization, because you have character. And character should be as a result of Christ having access in your life to deal with you. even in my own life, one of the things, that's why the scripture tells you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so he can exalt you in due time. We need to understand that the exaltation comes from God, not from men. The things that we should be working on is for the sake of our character. We should do this. The scripture lets us know if your heart condemns you, you're already sinned. Why? You're avoiding everything else. You're trying to build yourself off of the character of another. You cannot live off of another person's revelation. You need to develop the revelation that God has for your life. And in doing so, he's the architect of your character. And if Christ is the architect of your character, he's going to tell you to be led by his spirit, because those who are led by his spirit are his sons. And so therefore, you taking on the nature of him by his spirit, the spirit is going to allot to you these things: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Why? Because you need to know some things. You need to know how to apply those things, and you need to know how to comprehend, so that you can be superior in states that situations and circumstances stipulates a demand for every aspect in life. Hallelujah. So, contrary to popular belief, this leads me to my second point under this point. Perfection is possible. When the scripture speaks of perfection, they are referring to states of maturity. It is the intentions of God for all of his offspring to wrought the power of maturity in Christ. Of course, you can go back to Hebrews 5, really, and you know the scripture lets you know that by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the very oracles of God. And when you should be on meat, you still need milk. Why? Because you're not acquainted with the doctrine of righteousness or right standing with God. Why? Because you haven't allowed Christ to develop your character. So in order to reverse that, you're going to have to establish yourself beyond foundation and develop maturity. But you need to ascertain foundations. And the beauty of a lot of organizations now, they're coming to the understanding that when you go and you gather people, that there should be a basic understanding on essential doctrines that establish how we can operate in a commonality. That if you join our organization, this is the basis of what we believe here. We believe what the Bible says. We believe this and this and this. And I believe if you're going to establish a foundation, the foundation, and go on to maturity, you need to not lay again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, but of faith in God, instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. But this, however, you can get all of that information, but if God doesn't permit, you won't go beyond. So you need to start by first getting the foundational work, and then get in the presence of God so he can develop your character. That's why it's important. So you have some people, they attend foundational classes, but they never ascertain maturity in Christ because God didn't permit it. So you need to make certain that when you go after things in life and develop the character, that you're doing it on God's terms, because God's still in charge. It is God that establishes all authorities that be are ordained of God. So when you come against the authority that God has placed in place, you're not coming against man, you're coming against God, and you need to know that. Amen. And so consistency, because see, what we're talking about is that developing character will define a reputation of excellency. But what's the reputation? Your consistency of exemplifying your character. That's all it is. So consistency is simply directing all your doings in the order that never fails, and it is only modified if successful outcomes demand alterations. It should be the goal of a godly character to achieve godliness every time. This is a direct reflection of ultimately your steadfastness. Why? Because you want to develop a character that defines a reputation of excellence. Our second point for tonight is driving discipline in the mind to create constant mastery. Now, this is where we get a little heavy, because, you know, I hear people say, Well, you know, you shouldn't mentally assent. I understand what they're saying. What they're saying is that you shouldn't just think because you read a book and you can memorize that you got it. I get that. However, mental assenting, truly ascending mentally, cannot be achieved without God enabling you to do it. And so what people consider intelligence may not always be true intelligence in the eyes of God. But you can't tell me that if you get in God's presence based on you allowing Christ's mind. See, because first of all, Christ didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. That's a mental assent. But he made himself of no reputation. So he didn't even, he exercised humility, although he ascended mentally. So we need to make certain that part of discipline is achieving a constant mastery mentally. When you're disciplined, you've learned how to program your mind to function irregardless of what circumstances stipulate. And you have to take that in every aspect of your life. And if you learn it at a small stage and don't despise small beginnings, and again, that steadfastness comes up throughout all of this teaching, and we're going to devote a whole lesson on steadfastness and endurance. But that steadfastness comes as a result of you just having a fixed position in your mind that you're not going to let anything separate you from this love that you have through Christ Jesus. So, mindsets are what sinks our physical body to comprehend and create a flow for conduct that derives from the intentions of the will of God that stems from the Spirit. The mind only becomes hostile to God when it conforms to the world and rejects the emphasis of the Spirit. That's the only time it becomes hostile to God. God gave us a mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The heart is indicative of the mindset. So your thought life directs your physical body. And you know that to be the case. We need to gather these things up because these things are what's just a person of discipline has a defined character and they have a drive within them that develops constant mastery in their mindset. They can think. They can think things through. They can consider the cost. They can weigh the odds against the turf. They can beat against the grain. They can take risk create escapes. Why? Because the creative genius on the inside of them is in operation in sync with the Spirit to achieve constant mastery. And if you're not going to be under a master, you got to learn to be the master. And that's the uniqueness about God, that God does not only connect us to Him for us just to remain in a child state, but He gives us the ability to mature, to go on to perfection, to wrought perfection, to increase in life, so much so that our bodies and our spirits can be kept blameless, even as our soul prospers. God is not afraid of us excelling mentally. What He's afraid of, and He's not even afraid of anything, because God, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. But the only thing He's concerned about when it comes to His people is that you always are led and guided by His influence, His Spirit. So mastery comes with the courage to be the master. In the believer's perspective is to be just like their Lord and Master. This is why the emphasis of being Spirit-governed is so pertinent. And often manipulation is coined under mastery when there is what the Scripture refers to vain ambition. This is what prevents what I term creative genius, ambition. Remember, ambition sets as an earnest desire for some type of achievement or distinction, as power, honor, fame, or wealth, and the willingness to strive for its attainment. See, that's not the intentions of God. And when ambition is effect, they try to be something that they're not. And that's where that word as, or that adjective as, comes in and change, as, change in, change the connotation of it. See, when you have true authority, you don't have to act like it. You are it. And ambition tries to make you something that you're not. And so you can labor, but you can labor in vain. And we need to make certain that we're not laboring in vain by false ambitions in place of mastery, because that's not true mastery. That's just ambition, going after somebody else's dreams or goal because you think you can achieve it. That's ambition. That's not spirit governed. Because God will make a path for your feet. He'll bring light unto your path. And we need to stay on focus. But that's a part of the character development, the determination to develop character. And then as a result, the drive of discipline in the mind that achieves constant mastery. Messages are what transform the mind. And in our case, our messages is the intentions of God that is manifested in the interest of achieving fulfillment in life. And that's what we're all about, messages. You know, you know Romans 12, 1 and 2, not to conform, but to be transformed. But transformation or transmissions are communicated through messages. What messages are you sending out? Are you sending out that every time you want to quote-unquote do something new that you're mimicking some form of the world to the point now that churches look more like clubhouses than a place where people can receive the word, the engrafted word, and grow thereby? We're so busy compromising and becoming so culturally efficient that change is more theoretical than actualize. But we can change that by changing the message. So when the mindsets are set in sync with the spirit, mastery will come through the courage to be like the master. And then the messages that we convey will be as a result of the transforming power that is by the renewing of our mind. We must then, thirdly, dissolve communication barriers, because again, we're transmitting messages all the time, but we got to dissolve communication barriers that prevent constant improvement. And that's what excellent does. It says, hey, check how you can view, how you conveying messages. Preacher comes out of state to your ministry, which is to God's ministry, but that God has given you administration of, comes out of town, stays in a hotel, and you don't want to pay, you send them to a Roach Motel, and then they preach the word of God, and then you want to chip, they raise an offering, and you want to give them half of the offering they raise, and take a percentage for yourself. That's stealing. You got to re-examine your message. You're saying to that, and if it's a fellow member, a fellow comrade in ministry, and you're robbing your fellow comrades, how you gonna represent a righteous God? What messages are you sending? It's a communication barrier. Somewhere in the link of the chain, you haven't communicated the manner in which God would communicate through you. Communication in the scripture is often used in three things. Rarely is it used in dialogue, which is conversation between one person and another. Often when communication is used, don't let corrupt communications proceed out your mouth. That's one way. That's you know that. But it's also let your communication be that the same of Christ Jesus. That's also talking about your conduct. And then the scripture also lets us know that communication is also a transaction, a monetary transaction in scripture. Paul said, they communicated to me. They gave to me. And we are going to talk about being godly genius communicators. And I'm going to re-bring this back up about exemplifying and thriving in uncommon excellence. Right now, we have thrived in uncommon thief, being uncommon thieves, robbing people. And so, and it's just a matter. First of all, you got to realize when there's constantly people that are coming in your portion, you're not able to do what you're doing. See, some people go out there and they do things before time without truly sitting down and counting the cost. You might be in a position where at this particular time you don't need no guest speakers. You need to develop speakers within your own ministry that won't charge, and you minister to them, or, and you get some of your buddies to come in, but you don't need to go around bringing people in and not paying them what they're due. Because a man who preaches the word of God is worth double honor. You should give over and above, because that's the nature of God. That's the excellence of God. And not only that, your church should be a tithing ministry to another church. Your church, 10% of your income should be sent as a tithe of your ministries. People tithe to your ministry tithes, and everyone is in a tithing ministry, tithing unto the Lord. And if your church is not tithing, your church is not excellent. And just as the individual is, the collective body is cursed with a curse. We're talking about uncommon excellence. Reestablishing the foundation of God's reputation for his name's sake. So these lessons like these are important. You got churches out there that got mega ministries and don't tithe. You're just as cursed as a poverty-stricken church. You just have different, you're using your resources differently. Some of you have used the mastery of manipulation to get certain things. But God is clean. He said he allows the wheat and the tare to grow together. But there is coming a time where he goes in the field and he plucks things out. We've seen him, and we've seen mega ministries just uprooted straight from the ground physically and almost had to start all over again. God is not shaken by the things we are shaken by. See, we cannot achieve uncommon excellence without existing in common excellence. And this communication is, these are the barriers that are attacking. People do not have character, and they don't have a mind to do things correctly. So we have to reevaluate our character. So I think it's very important that this teaching be set in this frame of thinking, so that way no one goes without saying, I didn't know. Well, you know now. Your ministries, if you have an evangelistic work, you should be tithing to a church or a ministry, because we're all a part of the Lord's church. Every facet of your ministry should be tithing, should be involved, and the like.
For tuning into USWAT Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leyvon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of at-market involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of LaVon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our Human Resource Office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. That number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's biblical focus group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, LaVon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/rgru. That's www.myspace.com/rgru. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.